Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
Six passenger jets with Americans and her allies are being blocked from taking off. Former American military folks involved in private evacuation efforts say the U.S. State Department is the only reason the planes can't take off. Rick Clay, who runs the private rescue group called Plan B, suggested that the State Department's obstruction is motivated in part by embarrassment that private individuals are rescuing Americans that the Biden administration left behind. Also Monday, a pregnant woman who is from California is currently trapped in Afghanistan. She's claiming that the Taliban were hunting Americans. The Taliban issued a statement Monday claiming that they've taken control of Panjshir province, which is located north of Kabul and served as a staging ground for the country's top resistance force. The Taliban took the province dressed in American uniforms, using American weapons and American equipment. President Biden remains on vacation in Delaware. This is USA Radio News.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com antibacterial or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203.
Some Afghan refugees in the United States are being flagged with terrorist ties. Tim Berg reports.
About 100 Afghanistan refugees are being flagged for possible ties to terrorist organization. According to NBC News, of the 30,000 people evacuated from Afghanistan and headed to the United States, some 10,000 needed additional screening as of Friday. Republican Congressman Tom Tiffany of Wisconsin blasts the screening process for the Afghan refugees.
The State Department is basically running a human trafficking ring. It is clear that Secretary Mayorkas and the Biden administration, they're just waving people through on parole. I believe this is deliberate. Otherwise, why would you do this? Why would you circumvent the SIV process? Stop the in-flights until this is fixed, until people are going through the special immigration visa process, a thorough vetting that sometimes takes over a year. Stop the in-flights until that happens.
That audio courtesy of Fox News.
USA Radio News.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
With millions of Americans choosing not to get the COVID-19 vaccine, the Biden administration is saying the vaccines may not be enough and a booster shot may be required without proving any scientific evidence. Democrat Governor of Kentucky Andy Beshear tells NBC News, your freedom should not matter when it comes to the coronavirus pandemic.
Well, it has been difficult, and it shouldn't be, because it's just basic science. And our healthcare providers have been wearing masks for decades. Why? To prevent infection in different areas. I think this is a test of our humanity. I believe that that's what this pandemic is. And remember, a pandemic isn't an issue. It's a virus that's trying to kill as many of us as possible. And so I think it comes down to, are you willing to be selfless and wear that mask, loving your neighbor and protecting them? Or is it more a question of selfish? I have the right to do whatever I want, even if it causes harm to others. You know, you can't walk into a crowded movie theater and yell fire. your freedom of speech doesn't extend that far. Yeah. So let's remember that liberty is the right to live our lives, not to cause someone else's death. That should be pretty easy for people of faith, for people of values, and I hope that we can start living that faith and those values to protect one another once again.
According to the United Nations World Population Prospects Report, approximately 7,500 people die every day in the United States. On Sunday, 527 COVID deaths were reported. USA Radio News, I'm Lance Pry.
Want to fly somewhere? Looking for cheap flights or cheap tickets? Then call. That's right. Call the low-cost airline travel hotline now for prices so low, we can't publish them anywhere. Low-cost airlines has all kinds of cheap travel deals. Fly domestically and save up to 75%. You can even fly internationally and save even more. Yes, fly anywhere in the world and save a lot of money on your plane tickets. We'll even save you money with cheap travel deals on hotels, rental cars, even complete travel packages. So don't book your tickets until you call us first for the absolute cheapest prices on U.S. and international airline tickets and hotels. Call right now for prices so low they can't be published. Travel experts are here 24/7 to help. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. 800-430-7694. That's 800-430-7694.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Back with you. Bill Martinez here. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, we've got Kenneth Raposa joining us, a seasoned veteran business journalist with more than 20 years of experience reporting locally for the Boston Globe and stationed abroad as a staff reporter for the Wall Street Journal and Dow Jones News in Sao Paulo, where he won awards for his work. Kenneth, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me, Bill.
Well, you say that Afghan. Hey, yes, it is, huh? Yes, exactly. You said that Afghanistan should be a global energy player, but it won't be. Break that down for our audience, if you would.
Sure. So, as you know, once we finally left Afghanistan after 20 years of the war there, mm-hmm. a lot of the side news that have come out in relation to that exit has been, wow, we left so many resources in Afghanistan, now the Chinese and the Russians are going to take it over. And some of those resources would be things like oil and gas near the Caspian Sea area and in the northern part of Afghanistan, lithium, which is the stuff that goes into your Tesla car batteries if you have one of those, gold, and some rare earths that go into navigation equipment that is used in fighter planes. Now, my argument is that, of course, before this fiasco, China and the Taliban were breaking bread, and so a lot of people thought, "Ooh, wow, this is the time for China to go in and swoop up all that stuff under the ground." China already has a 30-year lease on a copper mine in Afghanistan. They've had since 2008. They haven't dug anything out of the ground yet. Eventually, they will. Maybe they will. Maybe they won't. But it's been sitting there since 2008. That's a long time.
Yeah. Why aren't they digging?
I think there's a couple of reasons. One, and the main reason, is that Afghanistan's been in war for the last 20-something years. And the truth of the matter is that Afghanistan has been in and out of wars probably since the 1500s.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so to go in there and say, yeah, I think I'll do it, it's just a high political risk. The insurance in there is crazy to ensure that ISIS-K or Taliban's not going to turn on you. And so I don't see that China really wants to. I don't see that China really wants to get involved with a Sharia law Muslim-run nation that's actually killing Chinese contractors in Pakistan right now. I don't think that China's going to be the one to go in there and dig out of the ground. Can they do it? Of course, anything's possible. Miners dig stuff out of the ground all the time, whether there's a road to the mine or not. They build it. Mm-hmm. They do it all the time. That's their business. So it's certainly possible, and Taliban can certainly say, hey, we'll take the royalties. We're a poor country. We're poorer than Eritrea, a tiny country in Africa. We can use the money. And then we'll take the royalty payment. So they might be very happy June, and I certainly don't see things like the lithium and other rare earths being pulled out of the ground and certainly not shipped to the United States. I really think that Washington would be on the case on that and say anything that's dug out of the ground there, and it goes into an electric vehicle supply chain or a defense contract, you know, a fighter jet, an F-15, that's not making its way to the United States. So I think Afghanistan will just be the, you know, the backward caveman-like nation that it's been for the last 500 years.
I guess that's my other question is, does Afghanistan even have the intellectual infrastructure to know how to handle these resources? Is that a fair question?
There is an oil and gas company that's been in Afghanistan for 100 years. I think it's called the Gasfador Group. And they have the know-how on how to do it. But this is such a small entity. This is such a small operation. I mean, let me just give you an example. So if you go, you know, to their website, Bill, right, the Gasfador Group, their last press release was in 2012. And in 2012, they were announcing a auction for some oil and gas rights. It might have been just oil. I'm not sure. It was hydrocarbons in the northern part of Afghanistan. Three companies, they bid. I don't know who the winner was. None of the companies that bid were an American company. And think about this. This is 2012. This is the time when, you know, Obama's the president. Things supposedly are going okay in Afghanistan. Maybe we'll get out. Maybe we're not. The government's strong there. We got it. We're training the soldiers. It's going to be a whole new land. And so we couldn't even do that. We couldn't even get Exxon or one of our American, you know, or any European multinational energy company to say, yeah, I'll bid for that. So if they didn't do it in 2012 when we supposedly had a Western-friendly government in place, do you see them doing it now? I mean, okay, maybe the Chinese will go in there, but or the Russians could. But the Russians have enough at home.
Yeah, well, the Russians already been there. They've done it. They bought the T-shirt and they tucked tail a long time ago. Do you think they want to go back into Afghanistan?
Exactly. No.
Yeah. Exactly. So, you know, you lay out, you know, some convincing insight here. And so so the concern is, you know, and has been that you have these resources and you put that into perspective. The other thing, of course, people are very concerned about. And, of course, the Joe Biden administration made sure that they scrubbed any reference to the 80 some billion dollars worth of armaments that were left behind and all this technology that it's like, you know, the Taliban's going to have a garage sale with all that stuff, are they not?
America, where I work, is out of their purview, you know. But I guess they could sell it, and who knows? But that stuff happens all the time, right? These
right.
You know, we've seen the movies, right? We've seen the movies. You know,
yes.
People buy guns
right.
and weapons all the time, and they don't need it. They don't need it to be given to them by the U.S. government. They'll just buy it, and they get it through all kind of ways. Let's not forget that Afghanistan certainly has its fair share of opium fields, poppy fields. So you know, they have ways to make money. You know, it's not the ways that you and I make money or selling a widget, but you know, it's a black market, and you know, it's a poor country. They have the weapons. What do they do with it? Afghanistan doesn't have a history of attacking other countries. Afghanistan has a history of being invaded. So Afghanistan's not using weapons to attack others. They might use it to sell maybe to Iran or someone else, but you know, we don't know. That's playing Monday morning quarterback and throwing darts.
Right. I understand, and I can appreciate people's concern that what happens in Afghanistan, as they say, doesn't stay in Afghanistan, and that we could very well be reliving a 9/11, but with much more intensity, because with the Taliban in control, and as you said, ISIS-K coming into play here, you know, we end up with a terrorist headquarters once again out of Afghanistan.
Right, of course. That you know, again, that's not my specialty, but yeah,
no,
I don't see why that couldn't happen. I mean, why couldn't that happen? Right? Why couldn't that happen? So,
is there a way
Washington cares about it, or if they just kind of, you know, light the fire sometimes? You know, sometimes I swear that they just light the fire. They just, a bunch of Keystone Cops. They go in there and they stir the hornet's nest, and then they wonder why the hornet is stinging them. So,
exactly.
What happens?
Well, he's an industrial analyst for the Coalition for Prosperous America, and we'll talk more with Kenneth Raposa about what can we expect here And is there anything that the West can do, I mean, as if we didn't try already, to maybe, you know, help them along? I don't know if there's any kind of cooperation that we can look forward to with the Taliban, especially right now when they're celebrating and getting ready to really have a big celebration for 9/11, 20 years later. So more from Kenneth Raposa after this, so stay with us. We're coming on 15 minutes after the top of the hour.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
If you're 65 or older and Medicare is your main source of insurance, pay close attention right now and listen for details on how you may save thousands of dollars on your healthcare costs. Did you know that Medicare can pay for things like dental visits, home delivery of drugs, even a gym membership? Call us right now and learn how to unlock all your Medicare benefits. Medicare and supplemental plans that we provide can even offer you drug coverage with zero copays and pay for transportation to your doctors. Medicare plans can offer you wonderful money-saving benefits, but you've got to call now. We'll help you get the most out of your Medicare. Make this free, no-obligation call now. Save a ton of money on your health care costs and get the code to unlock all your earned Medicare benefits. Paid for by Senior Choice Plans. 800-796-3954. 800-796-3954. That's 800-796-3954.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
Hey, fresh and independent we are. Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, 19 minutes after the top of the hour. We're talking with Kenneth Raposa, industry analyst for the Coalition for Prosperous America. Kenneth, while I got you on, tell us about the Coalition.
So the Coalition for a Prosperous Business America. It's a bipartisan think tank and advocacy group. On the think tank side, we do our own economic research that looks at the impacts of multinational corporation-led trade deals on the working class and the middle class in the United States, mainly in the supply chains, the small and middle-sized supply chains, the companies that make widgets for Ford, that make widgets for, or that make goods that are sold in Walmart, and how those come. And we try to come up with information and data that show, you know, how these trade deals and how these economic policies affect that part of the market. And then on the other advocacy side, we advocate primarily for reshoring manufacturing in the United States. We advocate for, you know, going hard on China, you know, you know, play hard, or don't play at all, you know, against China. You know, we're right. We're China hawks at CPA, and we find many people in Congress across the aisle, no matter what party you're with, whether you're including independent, whether you're from Bernie Sanders' wing of the Democratic Party or the Nancy Pelosi wing, or whether you're MAGA, you know, pretty much you can find people who see eye to eye on the China issue.
Exactly. Well, I mean, when you have another entity, a country like China, for example, investing, you know, the trillions of dollars, let's say, to combat America and America's interest, I mean, come on. I mean, what are we doing here? And yet we have these, as you say, these multinational businesses and organizations that emanate out of America, and they're supporting these values and these policies that are antithetical to America's interest. And sooner or later, the people are going to wake up to see this quite clearly. I mean, you know, here it is. The Chinese have taken over areas that you thought, well, wait a minute, why are they taking over entertainment? But they've got a stranglehold on entertainment. I mean, I was, you know, just coming back from Hawaii, and I was on the plane on Hawaiian Airlines. I can't even tell you how many movies that were available, you know, from China. And you know, and you go, whoa, what happened to all the American movies, you know? You know, just kind of, you know, it's all kind of subtle, but it's there. And they're controlling, you know, what these entertainment giants whose bases were here in the United States, and how they're controlling them, how they control LeBron James, the basketball, and, you know, the National Football League, and on, you know, the influences that go there, that, you know, with each step, at least what I'm seeing, Kenneth, is that the foundation of American values are being eroded because of the pressure from the communist Chinese. Is that fair?
It is fair, but it's even more fair to say that Wall Street or big companies or even Hollywood producers that you had mentioned, they're very concerned with the market. So what's the market to them? Well, it's China. Remember back in the day when you were growing up, it was, well, if it plays in Peoria, it's going to be a hit. Right?
Exactly. You're right.
If it sells in Peoria, it's going to be a hit. If this movie sells in Peoria, it's going to be a hit. Well, that's not the case anymore. The case now is, can we sell it to the Chinese? And that's why you see repeats all the time of the Marvel Universe, because, you know, it's not an American show. Yeah, it's an American superhero, but whatever. You could sell it. You could translate into Chinese, you know, Indian, whatever it is. Mostly Asian, right? Fast and Furious, for example. Fast and Furious, race cars, people beating each other up. Whatever, you could translate that. You know, there's nothing. The only thing that's uniquely American about it might be the big muscle head guys behind the wheels of these big muscle cars. That's probably the only really American thing about the whole show, right? So you have a market that these guys want to play to, and they don't think that the United States is the market anymore.
Listen, I mean, that's it. That's it in a nutshell, that they don't think that America is enough to carry the day. They've taken all the resources and development and ideas out of America. They've repurposed them to target towards the communist Chinese. And then meanwhile, the communist Chinese have been able to have access to our country. I mean, one of the things that still is one of those things that sticks in my craw is what happened with Solyndra. You know, that here it is. We made $500 million, I think $500 million worth of investment in Solyndra during the Obama years. And they allowed the Chinese to come in and underbid the solar panels and put Solyndra out of business and evaporate $500 million of the people's money. And you know, President Obama at the time, I know he was talking about other things, but it was, this is all part and parcel. And when he kind of laughed about, well, I guess those shovel-ready jobs weren't quite so shovel-ready. That's only one part of it. But the idea was that you allowed competition to come in and unfairly compete and undermine America's investment. Now, that wouldn't happen in China, but it happens here in this country. Something wrong about
it. No, it definitely would not happen in China. And I could talk your ear off on solar. So China has been setting itself up to be the green OPEC and for some time now. And what they do is, the Chinese aren't stupid. The Chinese government's not stupid. They've been in power long enough to know how things work. And they know who butters their bread. And it's not necessarily the Chinese consumer. There's 1.2 billion people in China. I've been there. There's just as many people carrying Michael Kors bags who are there with no front teeth and working in mixing concrete in sandals. Okay? So, you know, China's still a poor country. So when Xi Jinping says China's a poor country, you know, it's not. There's plenty of areas in China with hundreds of millions of people who, you know, are not rich. They're not like the Shanghai Chinese, which is what you'll see on the evening news, right? And
right.
The guys that, you know, the Wall Street crowd is looking to sell to. So the thing with solar is, for years the Chinese government has heard Brussels and Washington talk about what? Climate change. The world is going to melt. The ocean's going to rise. And China's been said, hey, if these guys are going to talk about climate change all day long, how are they going to solve it? Well, I'll make their solar panels. I'll make their wind turbines. I'll make their electric car batteries. And that's what China's been doing. So what we have to do and what we have done in the United States, what Trump has done as well, is we have tariffs against Chinese imports, you know, so it's harder to sell. Import Chinese solar to the United States. But then what does China do? Then they just offshore it to Vietnam, offshore it to Malaysia and Thailand. They invest in a factory over there, and all of a sudden Vietnam, you know, we have a bigger trade deficit with Vietnam than we do with Germany. And think about what we import from Germany. Mercedes, BMW, transmissions for Audis, pharmaceuticals, okay? We import some heavy-duty, expensive stuff, right? And they're a pretty big trade deficit we have in Germany. But our trade deficit with Vietnam is bigger, and it's bigger because it's become a vassal for offshore China multinationals to go around tariffs. And one of the biggest tariffs the United States has, and one of the most important ones, is solar, because without solar, you would just be at the whim of, you know, China tech, you know, to power your whatever it is you want to power, you know, your power grid, whatever it is, you know, your home, if you have solar in your house. It'll be all made in China.
But it begs the question, Kenneth, is who's in charge of this chess game here? I mean, where's the State Department and, you know, that's monitoring this? I mean, come on, this doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure this out, that they're, you know, shuffling cards and moving industry around so they can get around these, these tariffs.
Right. That's being worked on. The problem in the United States, and this is one thing I'm always reminded of, right? So the United States is very slow. It's not like China. China says, we want to become the world's biggest solar power maker. They wave their Tinkerbell wand, bing, and then boom, they're the world's biggest. Because that's what they do, right? That's how they operate. So the United States, they say they want to be a big, I'm giving an example. We want to make more solar here. And then maybe the Solar Importer Association, right? They say, we don't like that idea because it's going to cost too much money for solar. And then all of a sudden some congressman says, wait a minute, that's not true. That's a point. We better not do this. We better not be making solar in the United States because it's going to cost too much money and consumers aren't going to want to put them on their rooftops. And then they go and then they talk to someone at the International Trade, someone at the USTR, U.S. Trade Representative, and they say the same story, then things kind of slow down, you know? And it's meant to be that way, right? It really is meant to be, you know, you want the market, right, the economy, the market wants the government to be in gridlock in some respects because that allows us to be more free and allows us to innovate and do things on our own without having to rely on the government. So there is some good to that slowness, but there's also the problem with the slowness is when you're an industry that needs help to grow, like an important industry, like energy, like solar, because especially if you want to do away with fossil fuels, the last thing you want to do is do away with natural gas and oil, or at least cut into it, and then you're going to say, well, we're just going to put more solar panels on rooftops. We're just going to build solar panel, you know, utility power stations somewhere, and all those things are going to be made from, you know, imported from China. I mean, this.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you imagine? But a lot of competing interests, Bill. You know, a lot of competing interests. The importers, they've been around for a long time, and the guys who are domestic solar players, they don't really have the support. You know, so
For another conversation, Kenneth Raposo, thank you.
We'll protect you from COVID-19. Think again. More breakthrough cases of COVID variants show that vaccinated people are still vulnerable to the deadly disease. To be safe, monitor regularly for fever, as it's the leading sign of COVID-19. Use Exergen, the only thermometer scientifically proven to detect fever. And beware of non-contact devices that miss 5 out of 6 fevers. Remember, vaccines are not enough. So protect yourself and your family with the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Learn more at Exergen.com.
For $1 a day, if any covered appliance breaks in your home, we guarantee to fix or replace it. All makes and models, washers, dryers, refrigerators, air conditioners, and more. Guaranteed to be fixed or replaced for $1 a day. Call the Home Service Club now for free information.
800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. 800-870-6217. That's 800-870-6217.
USA Radio News with Lance Pry.
6 passenger jets with Americans and their allies are being blocked from taking off. Former American military folks involved in private evacuation efforts say the U.S. State Department is the only reason the planes can't take off. Rick Clay, who runs the private rescue group called Plan B, suggested that the State Department's obstruction is motivated in part by embarrassment that private individuals are rescuing Americans that the Biden administration left behind. Also Monday, a pregnant woman who is from California is currently trapped in Afghanistan. She's claiming that the Taliban were hunting Americans. The Taliban issued a statement Monday claiming that they've taken control of Panjshir province, which is located north of Kabul and served as a staging ground for the country's top resistance force. The Taliban took the province dressed in American uniforms, using American weapons and American equipment. President Biden remains on vacation in Delaware. This is USA Radio News.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Hey, welcome back. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. It's Labor Day, 2021. Hope you're making the most of it as America is getting back to work. Some of that government stimulus supposedly is supposed to end today, so we'll see what happens if the labor market numbers show a definitive increase. You would think that it would. Mark Mix joins us. He's the president of the National Right to Work Committee. Hey, Mark, how you doing? Happy Labor Day to you.
Thanks, Bill. Happy Labor Day to you. I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, hey, I'm doing terrific. I just made it back to the mainland from Hawaii last night. I'm here in Los Angeles, and so it's been an interesting trip. I love it when I'm traveling because it gives me a chance to, you know, talk to people, you know, from all over the country and to get, kind of connected with their pulse as to what's going on, you know, particularly what we were experiencing in Hawaii. The people are, there's not aloha, let's just say. There's a little dampening there. I mean, you've got the governor of the state telling people don't come, and we've got the lieutenant governor saying, look, if we get 95% of the people to wear masks, that will cure COVID. I'm not sure what science that comes from, but hey, that's their story. They're sticking to it. But here we are, and it's You know, Hawaii is open for business, but it's a little bit of a process. And I just want to warn people that the typical aloha spirit is not quite there yet. They're working on it.
Well, Bill, there's lots of news, obviously, and story is a big one, and following what's going on with travel and all that kind of thing. I'm still trying to fly domestically and getting around, and the airports are filling up, and things seem to be coming back, but I know there's all lots of issues regarding that, too. But today's a good day to talk about labor unions, if you want to do that.
Yeah, let's do that. Big unions and big government, you say, are having the time of their lives under this president.
Yeah, indeed. This president has talked about, he said he's going to promote unionism, promote unionism, promote unionism. He said it three times, so I'll say it three times. But what he's really promoting, Bill, is forced unionism. I mean, the idea that workers can freely and voluntarily choose to associate with unions is something that is protected in federal law. But yet this administration is pledging to go farther. And one of the main things they're doing is trying to pass a bill called the so-called PRO Act, which has already passed the House, is on way to the Senate. It passed there with no hearings, no testimony, that would repeal the 27 right-to-work laws across the country, which simply say it's a worker's choice whether or not they want to join or financially support a labor union. They can't be fired from their job if they do that. Unfortunately, in California, if you don't pay union dues or fees and you're in the private sector, you can be fired from your job, and that's right. Wrong. That's un-American.
Yeah. Yeah, without a doubt. And again, the Democrats are doing everything they can to ensure the election, that they get reelected. And they've been able to utilize the force and influence of union. And, and of course, Joe Biden had to make up, a little bit of work with the unions because of what he did with the XL pipeline. The union wasn't real happy about that.
Indeed, that was kind of interesting. He talked about defending good-paying union jobs, and then the first week of his administration, he signs an executive order that puts a bunch of pipe fitters and operating engineers, all union jobs, on the unemployment line. There's a disconnect there, and then you go and you approve the so-called Nord Stream 2 pipeline in Russia that allows them to expand their oil and gas industry, and yet it shrinks it and forces it out here in the United States, and those union jobs are gone. They're not coming back.
Exactly. Well, and Mark, this is the thing that's it's crazy. I mean, how does he, I don't know, maybe because the unions figure that, they've been voting Democrat. It's been such a tradition for so long that they don't know any better. They're not seeing the adversarial effects that this administration has placed upon them and their livelihood. I mean, and the thing that's amazing to me is when Joe Biden during the campaign talked about how his father was left hanging and out of a job and how tough it was, for him and his family to deal with that. And yet he goes ahead and, does it single-handedly, like you said, in the first week of his administration. And you're thinking, what did I miss here? I mean, he said that he understood because of what happened to his dad. And then he goes ahead and does it himself to, workers, and union labor force, which is amazing, especially after all they did to get him elected.
Yeah, indeed. And one of the things that we need to talk about here, and it doesn't get talked about a whole lot, is that we just assume that when we say union, we mean that there's cohesion and agreement by the rank-and-file workers and the union officials back here in Washington, D.C., or in Sacramento, California, for that matter. Mm-hmm. The bottom line is this, that the gap, the ideological gap between rank-and-file workers and union officials is growing wider and wider and wider. And Sacramento is a great example of that, but it's even a better example now in Washington, D.C., because when Joe Biden talks about unions, he's talking about the top bosses of the big unions here in Washington. Mm-hmm. And you're right,
yes.
Bill. They spent about $1.4 to $1.8 billion on politics and lobbying in the last 2 years. And a big chunk of that money was spent supporting candidates and ideas that many rank-and-file blue-collar private sector workers across the country disagree with, without a doubt.
Well, and this is why they've been, going to the courts and saying, to go back to what you said earlier. And that is that it's one thing to participate in a union because, to protect your interests and your job interests. But when you start being forced to, use your dues to support a candidate that is antithetical to your own values, you know, that's when the rub comes in and you're hearing more and more conflict on it. But, you know, the union and the Democratic Party being what it is, they're about forcing you into, they'll compel you. You have got to do that. If not, like you said, in some cases, particularly here in California, you'll lose your job, which is, it's amazing that this is happening in a free America.
Yeah, indeed it is. It's the antithesis of what we believe that we're supposed to be protecting here in the United States. In this grand experiment in self-government, individual freedom and individual rights is a cornerstone of our experiment in self-government. Unfortunately, we've given special powers to a private organization, i.e. a labor union, going all the way back to the 1930s, where the federal government steps in, puts their thumb on the scale, and says this private organization can literally demand that an employer fire you if you don't support them financially. And I know a lot of, there's a lot of arguments around this, but when you get to the nub of it, Bill, when you cut it down to the core, it's forced association, it's forced speech, and those are violations of the First Amendment clearly and, you know, unapologetically.
Yeah, the compromise is freedom. I mean, if we're a country, land of the free, home of the brave, you know, how does that support that ideal and anything that's in our Constitution is antithetical to it? And this is why well-meaning people, and they get frustrated, and so they choose no longer, you know, to be in the union. But we saw what happened. I mean, at one point, Mark, I believe the unions represented about, you know, 30-35% of the U.S. labor force. And now, outside of government, I think we're down to less than 10%, but what's been a boon for them and allowed them to survive is they just, you know, they saw the writing on the wall and realized that they weren't going to be all that relevant on the private sector, so they moved into the public and they started buying politicians. I mean, this is what allows them to live, does it not?
Yeah, indeed. You know, I often refer to the public sector as the final frontier for organized labor. They have, you know, that is the one place where apparently there is this ever refilling pot of money. In the private sector, it has real implications on the way businesses operate and the way the economy operates. But in the public sector, they found a the kind of the oil jar that can never quite get empty.
Right.
And yeah, unfortunately, folks in California and folks in New Jersey and Illinois and New York and other Connecticut, other big union-controlled states on the government side are, if it had to have been for the COVID relief bill, there would be very little left in the oil jar, frankly, for them. But you're right. That's their final frontier. They are about 6% of the private sector workforce. They're about 35% of the public sector workforce. But the good news, Bill, is that we argued a case at the U.S. Supreme Court back in June of 2018, a case called Janus v. AFSCME. And the Supreme Court there, like you, agreed that forcing someone to pay dues or fees to work is a violation of their First Amendment rights. Now, this is only for public sector workers, but every government worker in America is now protected against the forced payment of fees to work for government. We have what I think would be, could call correctly, a national right to work law for all government employees, but there's still more work to be done, that's for sure.
He's the president of the National Right to Work Committee. Mark Mix is with us, and our conversation with him will continue. Stay with us. We're coming on just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour.
Listen up, America. You've heard all about tiny homes. Now, through this limited time offer, you can buy one for under $60,000. Yes, buy your new living space for under $60,000 with amazing easy payment plans. Imagine having up to 550 square feet of new living space that we can easily ship to your location and help with setup. Put your new small tiny home in your backyard or any empty lot. They make a perfect in-law cottage or turn a piece of property into a rental. Plus, they're great as a man cave, she shed, or home office. We have a limited supply, so order your tiny home right now for under $60,000 with a small down payment and easy payment plans. Call Teddy Sheds and buy your tiny home. Here's the number.
800-279-0419. 800-279-0419. 800-279-0419. That's 800-279-0419.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may
may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau D'Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system. And it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A 1-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A.com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Hey, welcome back. 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Bill Martinez here. It's Labor Day 2021. We're talking with Mark Mix, the president of National Right to Work Legal Defense Foundation. And Mark, let's take a minute here and assess the state of the union when it comes to labor on this Labor Day.
Yeah, Bill. You know, union officials keep talking about how somehow their ability to attract workers is a problem and it needs to be fixed by government. The bottom line is this. Union officials going back to the 1930s with the passage of the federal labor policy that governs private sector labor management relations in the country is founded on the idea of force and compulsion. And they have government privilege to say, you can't work if you don't pay me. That's not a secret for success. I mean, there's no incentive for them to provide services, to focus on the workplace, to focus on the worker, and provide real benefits that someone would want to buy voluntarily. If they would focus on the shop floor instead of the political shop floor, if you will, I think they'd be a whole lot more successful. And that's a recipe for success, not for a decline as they're seeing.
When you look at it, if it was relevant and it was positive and win-win for the labor force, you would see an increase, not a decrease. And they've only aligned themselves with an institution that is quite telling, that big government protects unions, and this mindset, which is debilitating, and I believe, in my humble opinion, having been in business most of my life, Mark, and which makes me sad, is that you're taking the U.S. labor force and all its human potential, and you're reducing it to mediocrity. This is what I have seen in my experience in my years with what's happened in the union. And I saw this raise its head recently. I don't know if you caught this or not, but it's the same kind of mindset that gives you the response that the general told, was it a general for the UK, you guys, you got to stop working so hard. You're making us look bad, when they were extricating their nationals out of Afghanistan. And that kind of mindset is something that I've seen consistently work on the union floor, is that, hey, you're making us look bad. Why are you working so hard?
Yeah, that's exactly right. The exclusive monopoly control that union officials exercise in the American workplace, it helps to punish the most aggressive and the most eager workers, and it helps to protect the most, you know, unproductive workers in the workplace. And that's not a recipe for success. And you're right. We represent a lot of employees whose first encounter with the union was, you know, look, pay up or be fired, pay up or lose your job, pay up or who knows what else will happen to you. But the one thing that we do hear a lot is exactly that, this idea of taking away the best, hurting the worst, or helping the worst, hurting the best, and making everyone medium is not a recipe for success anywhere, frankly.
Exactly. I mean, when it comes down to it, and there's been repeated studies on this, boy, I guess the most significant thing that can happen for some in terms of their happiness is to have a job, to be productive, to be able to exercise the giftings and talents that God has blessed them with. And when I have seen that in operation, I see businesses that thrive, the people thrive, they're there for a long time. It keeps things humming along. But when you have institutions that want to limit people and say, well, okay, there's a ceiling here, and you're not going to go any higher than this, and you're encouraged to thrive it back, well, you know, that's tedious, and it's not very rewarding, but you would think that they would get a grip of it. But, you know, when you've got a government that supports this, is it any wonder the bureaucracy is so compromised? And when you look at it and you go, you know, in all fairness, tell me where the government is shining in any of these bureaucracies. I mean, right now, all the three-letter agencies, it would appear, are, rankly corrupt. And beyond that is that, they can't account for money. I mean, forget it even about the military. The military, they haven't done an audit on the military. And here we left billions of dollars in Afghanistan. And, you know, this is all indicative of a bureaucracy that's so bloated and unaccountable.
Yeah, that's right. And that accountability is a real important function in any place that you're operating, whether it be a workplace, a labor union, a radio show, whatever it is. You've got to attract people by being good at what you do, and there has to be accountability for those above you. And the union officials, take the United Auto Workers Union. 12 of their top executives, 2 of their former past presidents are in jail today because they could not be held accountable by rank-and-file workers. I mean, they were stealing money from the rank-and-file workers, and workers in 23 states are forced to pay the fines for the bad behavior of these union officials. But the business model, Bill, is really one that, if you could get it, I guess it would be pretty rewarding. I mean, basically, everyone has to listen to your radio show, whether you're on the air or not. They have to tune in, right? Or no matter what you talk about, they have to tune in. That would be good for you, but not good for the radio industry or for the folks that are forced to listen, that's for sure.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing, too, and I think that people understand when things are, when they're contrived. It's not very rewarding. You know, whether you're a show host or, you may be able to play the game and all that kind of deal, but it's like, wow, and I don't care what level. I mean, you could be at the highest level of union operation, and when you are managing mediocrity, I don't see how that provides any kind of excellence for your leadership, does it? Or am I being too philosophical?
No, I think you're being spot on. The fact is, these stories occur every day, all day long across the country. Those are the good news stories that we never get to hear about. Unfortunately, when we hear about the idea that some private organization's been given the privilege to compel people to pay them to work, that's what we need to be talking about. You know, the vision that you have and the vision you articulate about, giving a person an ability to step up and work hard and achieve things, that's the story of ordinary Americans. It's only when the government gets involved. When government gets involved and interferes with that, is we have trouble, and that's where we are in labor policy, is the Sacramento bureaucracy applying it in California and the Washington, D.C. bureaucracy applying it across the nation with policies that don't encourage people to be their best, that don't encourage people, to be their own kind of bosses, if you will. And that's ultimately what we are, Bill. We're our own boss. Isn't that right?
Well, without a doubt, that's the way I was raised. That's the way my father raised me, and I was fortunate to be around mentors that reinforced the same thing. you know, self-responsibility, hard work. And, you know, for me, I've been blessed in following that formula, and I share that with my kids, and that hopefully they'll share that with their kids, because I believe that that's a proven formula for success, especially if we're, you know, allowed to, you know, continue with this free America. I get it that it's, you know, under attack, because there's been antithetical forces coming against this free America forever. But, you know, the thing that we have on our side here, Mark, is that we've enjoyed freedom. We've paid the price for it. We've gone to wars. We've, you know, sided with people who are interested in, you know, in liberty, and we continue to do it. And we've had a taste of that, and more than a taste. That's part of our tradition. And so I'm hopeful that it cannot be wiped out, that people will once again realize that they've been sold a bill of goods. And when you look at what's happening in California, oh yeah, that's right, we got a recall underway there. New York lost the governor. You know, all these things are hopefully, you know, people will pause for a moment and really analyze as to what's going on. I mean, the beauty of this, you know, federalist government is that we have all these laboratories. You know, we have 50 laboratories in operation, and we need to be able to take and take a look at these different operations and say, look at what's working. You know, why is it that, you know, a place like Florida offers, you know, operates more efficiently than, you know, Baltimore, for example? You know, what is going on? And you can say consistently, these are Democratic strongholds that hold the people down, whether it's in Illinois or, you know, we're talking now Portland and other areas and Baltimore and that, D.C., all this stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, okay, but you know, the people there, see, this is what I grieve over, Mark, is that, again, I am one to fight for human potential and people's God-given gifts that, you know, are just aching to be expressed. If we give them an opportunity to do so, gosh, I think, you know, a lot could be healed. And even regardless of this three and a half, you know, $3 trillion boondoggle that we're, you know, being forced to swallow here, you know, I believe that we can even overcome that.
Yeah, indeed, Bill. You know, freedom rests on choice, and where choice is denied, freedom is destroyed. And those are the simple questions and the simple imperatives of who we are as Americans. And when we protect freedom and we expand freedom, we expand opportunity. And when a government bureaucracy says it's one size fits all and everybody should do this or everybody should do that, and we should have a federal policy that mandates terms and conditions of employment on businesses across the country, those things are designed to take away that initiative, to take away that incentive. I know it sounds grandiose, but that's how America was made, and that's how America will survive and how it will prosper. And we need to remember that as we move forward. Mm-hmm.
Well, it may sound grandiose, but it's practical, isn't it? I mean, we have practical experience to support this. I mean, it's not like you and I are at a bar and we're, you know, on our third round of drinks here, you know, trying to influence one another. I mean, we've got a long history of how liberty works and how it blesses everybody, you know, and not only people in this country, but people around the world. America has a heart to serve, and we've done that continually. We always run to the fires. We run to national disasters, and we're there to help out these causes that happen. And that's the heart, that's the blessing of America, is that we've been greatly blessed, and we want to bless others.
Indeed, Bill. And it is 12 o'clock here, so, but I know it's not 12 o'clock out there, so be careful with that first round, okay? Let alone the third round of drink. My goodness.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Surely I exaggerate. Mark Mix, president of the National Right to Work Committee. Mark, thank you so much for coming on. Happy Labor Day to you and the 2.8 million member public policy members that are involved in the organization. And give them a website they can go to find out more information.
Yeah, they can find out about us at nrtw.org. nrtw.org.
First, we decide where we want to go. Then we need to know the best way to get there. Hi, my name's Adam Baratta. I'm the owner of Advantage Gold. We're the highest rated precious metals firm in the country. We teach people how to own physical gold and silver. Now, we've won the Best of TrustLink Award 4 years in a row because we educate our clients on how to buy gold and silver the right way. We don't pay celebrity spokespeople millions of dollars. We'd rather pass that value on to you. Call 800-900-8000 and speak with one of our experts. We'll send you a free gold kit along with my latest number one national best-selling book, The Great Devaluation. Call 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000. Get the best information, the best process, the best service, the best value. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000. Call 800-900-8000.